Blog Talk Radio.
As a business owner, do you ever wonder if your business ever closes early when you aren't there, or if it opened on time this morning? Stop wondering. With Smarter Business Security powered by Alarm.com, get alerts sent directly to your phone when your business opens and closes. An all-in-one service that helps you understand who's coming and going in one store or across all your store locations. Know everything that's happening at your business with Smarter Business Security powered by Alarm.com. See how by visiting alarm.com/business today.
Are you ready to lose those love handles? Do you work hard to stay in shape and eat healthy, yet you can't get rid of stubborn fat? Now there's a clinically proven way to help you look slimmer without surgery or downtime. It's called Sculpture. Sculpture's innovative procedure destroys fat in just 25 minutes with visible results as quickly as 6 weeks. Sculpture sounds amazing, right? Check it out for yourself by clicking on the banner or go to goodbyefat.com.
Root Cause Radio, sharing Root Cause Radio, sharing the secrets of optimal health. Root Cause Radio, sharing the secrets of optimal health.
The collard green recipe is fantastic, and it calls for uncured turkey bacon, and I have never cooked collards for quite that long. I didn't know that it's good to cook greens for a long time because it breaks the molecular bonds, and the food, the oxalates become more digestible, and the recipe has you to cook the greens for about an hour and a quarter, and my family loves the greens.
Once the diseases are cured at the cellular level, we are able to prevent new diseases from occurring.
This message is for those people out there that they need hope and they need a resolution for their sickness. Symptometry is the solution.
Yes, this is a total health system. I have trained under other people, and they only gave me partial answers.
My family tends to suffer with plaque buildup on our teeth, and we have to go in regularly to fight off gingivitis. And it doesn't matter how much you floss, it seems it just doesn't help. But just by using the yogurt blend, when I just went into my doctor's visit, my dental visit last week, she was amazed by the results. I mean, it was great. The plaque buildup was just minimized significantly.
Once we have prevented new diseases from occurring, then mankind will have a chance to live in a disease-free body. This is what we all want. We all want to live in a disease-free body so that we will be happy all the time.
Go deep at the root cause of your sickness, of your disease. And Dr. Naughty is an awesome man.
My name is Michelle Mitchell, and I just love being here for Symptometry. I got to actually meet Dr. Naughty, and just learning all the information that we learned today was really fulfilling, and I am definitely going to work towards becoming a student.
I would encourage anyone who would like to learn how to learn about solutions and not just live in a situation to come. Called Symptometry. Come to a symposium, and guess what? You can be like I am, more enlightened, because the more I learn how to do that will support me, the better off I will become.
This was a very awakening moment. We're just enjoying ourselves and feel very enlightened by all the information that we received, and I'm looking forward to purchasing a few of the books so I can continue on the Symptometry path.
What we have to do now is to establish the gateway to happiness by removing all diseases from the human body. It is as simple as that.
He talked to me for 2 hours, and his compassion, his care, the care that he have for people, I never saw to anybody, the love for people. And I was so impressed. I was so impressed.
Hi, my name is Lori. This is my first symposium. I enjoyed it immensely. I'm also a student at the American School of Symptometry. I would encourage everybody to participate in either the six-month program or to study to become a symptometrist. Because curing is proving, we're learning how, we want to spread the word, we need your help.
Symptometry has really helped me with dental problems. Before, I would wake up and my teeth were starting to cross in front. And the more citrus I was eating, the worse it would get. So it's been able to stop that. I stopped having dental pain and the actual teeth itself, and bad breath went away. No bad breath.
And the best way to go about it is to go to the American School of Symptometry, where we teach cosmic or atomic science, where we teach cell nourishment, so that every cell and every tissue in the human body is well nourished.
But I'm so excited because we find help in symptometry, and we are grateful that that we find this help. And I hope you'll call symptometry, and you're gonna find out that for anything that you have, there is a solution. And Dr. Navi knows how to help you.
Hello and welcome. Welcome, everyone, to Root Cause Radio. Root Cause Radio is where we empower you, the listeners, our listeners, with knowledge, solutions, and share the secrets of optimal health. My name is Angel Delight, and I am so happy to be here today hosting this wonderful broadcast for Symptometry Root Cause Therapeutics. A warm welcome to both our new and our longtime listeners. Welcome, welcome everyone. So tonight's broadcast and our past shows, and also some other, you know, wonderful information is available for our listeners and can be downloaded at www.rootcauseradio.com. It's important to, you know, mention that symptometry is neither alternative medicine nor allopathic drug medicine, but symptometry is the most scientific, natural, and logical method for addressing the needs of the cells, the genes, DNA, blood, and the lymphatic system. So by addressing all the needs of each cell, the cells that make up the body are able to cure and prevent diseases. And symptometry is the only discipline of applied therapeutic science that provides nothing but root cause treatment. All right, so for today's broadcast, you really need, you know, maybe a pen and paper to jot down a few notes. And also keep an open mindset as you listen to today's broadcast, because you'll probably hear something new and different, and that certainly could change your understanding of health. All right, well, I am really happy to be here today hosting this show, and I'm really excited about today's topic. Today's topic, we're going to explore traumatic brain injuries and how they happen, how they come about, how we can prevent them, and what we can do once they do happen so we recover from them. So we're going to focus on traumatic brain injuries and also, you know, learn more about how symptometry root cause therapeutics can definitely help. All right, without further delay, I'd like to introduce our special guest for tonight's show. Our guest is Dr. Charlie Abbott. He is a licensed symptometrist from North Carolina, and, you know, he's going to help us gain an understanding of how to achieve optimal health and how symptometry root cause therapeutics uses scientific knowledge and natural FDA-approved products, you know, to help overcome traumatic brain injuries once they do happen. Now, I'll give you a little background about Dr. Abbott. Dr. Abbott has over 15 years of experience in acupuncture therapy, sports medicine, Chinese herbal medicine, and Asian body work. So we are definitely excited to have him here with us to shed some light on this topic. I'd like you to give a warm welcome to Dr. Charlie Abbott. Dr. Abbott, can you hear me?
I sure can, Angel Delight, and I'd like to say good evening to you and the listening audience, and I'm happy to be here once again.
Excellent. Thank you, Dr. Abbott. So we'd like to start out with our first, you know, question on this topic about traumatic brain injury. The fact is, you know, whether you're a parent or you're a youth sports coach, a high school coach, a school professional, or a healthcare provider, you understand the importance of, you know, minimizing the risk of concussions and other serious brain injuries. So exactly, we should probably start out today's topic by asking you exactly what is a traumatic brain injury and how does it happen?
Okay, very good. Thank you, Angel. Traumatic brain injury, coined TBI, and this is an acquired brain injury, and it occurs when there's a sudden trauma or damage done to the brain. And this usually happens when the head is suddenly and violently is hit or an object pierces the skull and enters the brain tissue. And this is what is called TBI. So traumatic brain injury can happen in many ways, but the definition of it is when the brain is traumatized either by blunt force or something violently striking the head or the skull, and that in turn will cause injury to the brain. Just as well as a person can have injury to another part of their body, it's just at this point it's one of the most important parts, and that is the head. Thank you.
Okay, so that's very good to know, Dr. Abbott, but I want to follow up about with another question, which is, traumatic brain injuries caused by, a serious blow to the head. And that made me think about, you know, sports, because there's a lot of contact sports out there which result in head injuries, you know. So, you know, what type of sport accidents, you know, cause traumatic brain injuries? Or maybe I should try to, you know, rephrase the question and say, are there certain sports that, you know, will cause traumatic brain injury?
Okay, so where should I start on this list? I mean, because sports, you know, sports is a part of our cultural entertainment. I mean, it's on somewhere now. I'm sure you could turn on the television and or the computer and find a live sporting event or some videos of one that happened yesterday, last week, or 20 years ago. But we can look at them, we can look at baseball. Okay, I mean, there's always a risk with baseball, with hard balls. I mean, you see players standing at home plate, the guys who's swinging at the ball. He has a long object in his hand, a bat, and then there's this hard ball made of tightly wound twine encased in leather that is being thrown at between 90 and 100 miles an hour. And there have been many brain injuries that have happened, or persons have been hitting different parts of the body with a baseball. The same thing can happen with basketball. Yeah, basketball, even though the ball is not as hard, but the players jump, they run, and they can fall in awkward positions and hit their head. Golf, all we have to do is think about the spectators or imagine the pictures that we see when a ball is going through someone's kitchen window or something. But if there's a spectator out there and they're watching some of these PGA events, many times people get hit with balls, but it's not necessarily reported during a telecast, but it does happen. Soccer, the same thing. Cycling. I had a situation years ago out in Pecos, New Mexico. I was riding my bicycle coming down a mountainside and went over the handlebars. And the only thing that saved me really was the helmet, because if I didn't have the helmet on, I don't even know if I would be talking to you right now. It happens in track and field, martial arts, auto racing. We've seen some of those, of course. Even skydiving, which is becoming a real popular event activity now. Skiing, of course, we've seen and heard of many a traumatic accidents that happen during skiing. Football, of course, that's a crunch game, and it is a game of violence. So you have football, wrestling, and hockey, not only with the sticks, but with the puck as well. So it's a lot of impact that's involved, things that happen, and they just happen in the course of the event. Even our military personnel escape these type of injuries because they're exposed to high explosives, and they're required to move in very awkward positions, usually in tactical situations. And they're around, you know, equipment that is made of steel, and they can hurt themselves. That's why they have to wear helmets also. As far as sports accidents are concerned and what causes those brain injuries, it's going back to the silent, you know, the violent impact in which the person is subjected to, and then it happens over and over. And it's just one generation after the other. Even though there's improvement that happens, it still happens as long as we're going to play sports. Thank you.
Well, that's, you know, a good list, Dr. Abbott. But I just wanted to mention the brain is protected, isn't it, by the skull? So, and also when people wear helmets, that provides additional protection, right? So traumatic brain injuries really shouldn't happen, or even if they do, it must take a tremendous amount of force to cause an injury to the brain, because isn't the brain well protected?
Well, it is not necessarily so. I mean, as far as that's concerned, most of the helmets are made out of fiberglass, and they all have different ratings to them. And depending upon the type of impact, for years, hockey players didn't wear helmets. Football helmets were initially made from leather. They used to wear the actual leather helmets. And, of course, boxing, you know, they don't wear any helmets. You know, they used to put things inside the gloves and all of that. But the head protected as well as other parts of the body, because other parts of our body has more padding. There's more muscle there. And the head is more susceptible to injury and to impact and rendered non-functional with a violent blow. Some people get knocked out. Some actually have other problems.
Wow. Those are really good points, Dr. Abbott. I'm really glad we have tonight's spotlight on head injuries, you know, serious head injuries.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stay with us. We certainly have a full show tonight. We will take a quick break, and we'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsor.
The American School of Symptometry empowers doctors, social workers, counselors, psychologists, and energy workers to be more effective in their positions by adding the science behind root cause therapeutics their careers in nurturing. What is Root Cause Therapeutics? Developed by Dr. Maxwell Narty, Root Cause Therapeutics is the only applied therapeutic science successful in eliminating disease at the cellular, lymphatic, and blood levels. The American School of Symptometry has programs to ensure you receive thorough training to cure all diseases at the cellular level, reverse the damage caused by past traumas, and empower your patients with the ability to prevent future illness. Take advantage of one of the three professional tracks to support your current career or transition into a new one. Become one of the first licensed symptometrists and therapeutic scientists in the world to administer root cause therapeutics. For more information, contact our website at AmericanSchoolOfSymptometry.org or contact the head administrator, Dr. Charlie Abbott, at 708-620-4362. That's 708-620-4362.
The knowledge that Symptometry shares is known around the world, but now we bring the knowledge in the form of food. The Downside of Nutrition, Part 1, was written by Dr. Maxwell Narki in order to expose the hidden dangers of the foods we love. This easy-to-read book is filled with reasons why certain foods should be avoided, as well as a step-by-step food chart that guides you to obtaining optimal health. Be aware of what's on your plate by buying The Downside of Nutrition Part 1 at www.symptometry.com. That's www.symptometry.com.
Hello and welcome back, everyone. All right, well, I just want to remind everyone that we will give our listeners a chance to learn about a few tasty tips from our new segment on the show. The new segment is called The Delicious Cooking Corner, and that will happen at the end of our show. Definitely tune in and listen for that towards the end of the show. I want to also mention that Symptometry Root Cause Therapeutics has a few scientists that are available to take your call for a private, no-cost, 15-minute consultation. These are therapeutic scientists who are also licensed symptometrists, and you can easily reach them, you know, by telephone for a private, no-cost, 15-minute consultation. I'll give you their names and numbers. We have Dr. Maxwell Narte. You can reach Dr. Narte by dialing 708-691-4977. Again, Dr. Narte is at 708-691-4977. And Dr. Elizabeth Wanek is available to take your call at 336-545-1020. Mm-hmm. Again, Dr. Elizabeth Wanek is available at 336-545-1020. And, of course, Dr. Charlie Abbott can be reached by dialing 336-456-9183. Again, Dr. Charlie Abbott is available to take your call at 336-456-9183. All right, so we are back. And, Dr. Abbott, I just wanted to follow up on the question and the answer that was provided earlier about, you know, what type of sport accidents cause traumatic brain injuries, and you gave a list of what brain injuries. So I want to follow up on that. Now, certain contact sports, which you mentioned, you know, football, boxing, hockey, you know, these are just examples of sports that have a high risk of accidents, you know, resulting in traumatic brain injuries. And, you know, these sports are very popular among young children, especially kids in school. So is there an ideal age? Is there the perfect age for a young child or a person to start playing contact sports in order to minimize, you know, the occurrence of brain injuries?
Are we going to follow the guidelines or what? But this is an excellent question, Angel. Because, you know, well, the skull mineralizes slowly compared to the rest of the limbs and the bony parts of the body. You always think of a baby when we want to be careful because we talk about the soft spot at the top of the head, and many times you can see it pulsating, and that takes a while for it to actually harden up. And our brains, the different parts of our brain, don't develop until certain times. It's like the reptilian brain is there, that's the oldest part. Then we have the limbic brain, which has to deal with our emotional body and an emotional aspects of who we are. And then we have the cortex, which has to do with our reasoning. But then there's also the prefrontal cortex, which they refer to it as the executive center of the brain. And this is one of the reasons why the insurance rates change during a time when children are, when a person gets to be 21 years old, that's when alcohol becomes legal, because at that point the brain has, started to fully mature. And the same thing with the insurance rates usually. So the brain has different times in which it comes into maturity. And when you think about our brains, there's not much there as far as padding is concerned. The skull, our hair can actually, many people's hair grows thin there, or they lose their hair there, and there isn't fat. And fat does contain nourishment. And you can see many times if you watch the athletic events and you'll see guys sitting on the sidelines or someone sitting on the sideline, and you actually see the heat top of their head. And the rest of the body, we don't really lose hair that way. I mean, rarely do you see a man who loses his hair on his beard or, other parts of our body. So we have to take that into account because it's not anchored in the skull, because it's not getting enough fat. So how do we tell a child or know when it is a proper time to introduce them to contact sports? And just another example of that is we see animals during mating season, especially the ones that butt their heads. We see the rams or bulls or elks or deer, and they're using their antlers, but they have spongy material that is able to act as shock absorbers that allow them to do the repeated head button until one of them pretty much gives up. But our skull isn't made and designed that way. We have much more padding on the rest of our body, but top of our head, where we lose most of our heat, is definitely not designed for that. So when we look at introducing children to sports, we have to look at the amount of impact that's going to be involved, and then what are the long-term ramifications of it? Are they going to end up with a serious problem down the road? It's an excellent question, but I say we have to take all the precautionary measures, and that is including incorporating better equipment, and that way we can be able to monitor those things. And then once a person gets into their teenage years and they start to get stronger, that I would think that would be a better time, as opposed to introducing a 5-year-old or 6-year-old to many of these contact sports. Some of the least contact sports would be better, like baseball, basketball, soccer, but not doing the header techniques, and some of the things like track and field. But the more violent games such as hockey, boxing, football, I would wait until at least they're 12 or 13 years old to start that type of activity.
Okay, that's very, very good advice and good suggestions there, Dr. Abbott. Thank you. Is wrestling, I just thought of that, would you consider wrestling to be a high-impact sport that children or teenagers, you know, could maybe consider? Or would you wait and prefer that? Would you suggest that, you know, teenagers or actually young children wait to participate in wrestling because it could result in traumatic brain injuries? What's your take on that?
Although wrestling, you're on a 3-inch thick mat, 4-inch thick mat, and you wear a head, and the players, athletes use headgear, it's still a grappling sport, and it depends on the way in which it's taught. Because a certain, you know, an elbow, a knee, a certain a way of an attack can actually get the brunt of impact from either an elbow or a knee, or they could fall a certain way and cause just as much of a brain problem than someone playing some of the other obvious sports that we mentioned earlier. But wrestling, if it's taught right and it's not, you know, the person isn't, you know, put in a situation where they are compromising themselves with falling or slamming one another on the mat, then that's much safer. But it is someone trying to get advantage over another person. So it's very difficult to say what will happen in a situation where someone's trying to win when there's competition going on.
Right. All
of these sports, you know, they have their badge of honor. You know, wrestlers, they have what they call those wrestler ears, where their ears are really, they've built up a crust on their ear. They have these really thick, the skin around their ears is really, really thick, like what is called cauliflower ear. And in turn, there are all types of reflex points on them also. So all of those injuries, different types of training and things that people go through can impact the person's health, and especially on the head. And the ears are, you know, attached to the head.
Mm-hmm. Well, good point. You know, that brings me to my next question, Dr. Abbott, you know, in regards to head injuries. Now, Hollywood has shed a little bit of light by presenting the movie Concussion. That's the movie starring actor Will Smith. And they present this movie and focus on a condition of brain damage, which is known as CTE, or chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Now, this type of brain damage persists over a period of years or decades, and it's the result of traumatic impacts to the head, you know, over time. And some of the most common symptoms of CTE include loss of memory, difficulty controlling impulsive or erratic behavior, impaired judgment, behavioral disturbances, you know, including aggression and depression, difficulty with balance, and also the gradual onset of dementia. So my question is, what does symptometry offer to individuals suffering from CTE, and how does symptometry approach the treatment of CTE?
Well, we definitely want to make sure that we have a diagnosis for it. Chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE, as it's known. It used to be called dementia pugilistica, which was a part of the boxing game, where we've heard people say, oh, that person's been, they're punch drunk, coming from what happened to the boxers, and they saw the effects of the pugilistic lifestyle or what that sport brought about to the people who participated in it. And it is a way in which a person has repeatedly, over time, experienced trauma to the brain. And it's just repeated concussions or repeated trauma, you know, like that. And the brain eventually atrophies. Now, and this word, the encephalopathy, comes from the Greek word, which is en, and then kephal, which is head, and then pathia is suffering. So the head is suffering. That means the person's head is suffering. And the way in which we would address this in symptometry is that because there's trauma to the brain, okay, that tells us that there's not enough nutrients being produced, the neurotransmitters, we have problems, person's thinking, their balance. And what would cause that? We have particulates that address issues with with their gait, the way that a person may walk, if they're having an issue with their balance, and even with the memory, because memory is oftentimes is affected by it. Looking at that film, which I saw, went to go see, I saw the suffering that those athletes went through. And when you speak of the time in which to start someone out, this is an accumulative effect. So that the NFL or the National Hockey League is the pinnacle of it, but these head injuries start either in recreational football or hockey, and then on to junior high school and high school and college athletics. And many people may have just not something as chronic as others, but they are affected. So we have the particulars to address mood swings. Some people have issues with their mood, and you may not know something's wrong with them, or the person is bipolar. But this is actually could come from a head injury, a loss of muscle control, depression. Depression is a major one. And we would use the particulates to address these areas of concern. And these broad-based particulates not only address one specific area, but also it could address three different issues the person has because it's coming from the same system. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Abbott. That's very, to know, very informative. And speaking about brain injuries, traumatic brain injuries, I'm sure there are ways to prevent them. Of course, when you play a contact sport, you want to wear protective gear, such as a helmet on your head. But obviously, there are certain precautions people can take to reduce the risk of traumatic brain injuries, even when they're not playing a contact sport, right?
Yes.
Example, yes, you can wear your helmet if you or your children are, playing contact sports. But also, people can get traumatic brain injuries if they're riding a bike or motorcycle or snowmobiling or on a scooter or, on a all-terrain vehicle or ATV, right? And also, riding a horse, for example, could cause it, or going skiing or snowboarding. So, I mean, what other ways can a person help prevent serious head injuries?
Again, you've covered quite a few of them, and that's excellent. People, we have to look at making things much safer. For children, darling, window guards, especially for people who live in high rises or have, they live in houses that have multiple floors, because the children sometimes will, the window will be open and they'll go to the edge and Next thing you know, there's an event that happens. People in cars, and especially this time of year, with ice and rain and different weather conditions that exist just at a specific time, you know, it can prevent a person from hitting their head on the steering wheel or on the dashboard or in the window. So taking those cautions. And then, of course, you know, alcohol and drugs, the things that which centometry we do to help people to ionize and to help them to detox off of those substances. But tripping, especially with our older population and people wear different types of, you know, footwear, you know, whether it's the flip-flops or slip-ons, and they can oftentimes come out, one foot will slip, and they're walking up on a curve or a rug or a slippery surface or even the bathtub or the shower. No one is spared to hitting their head. And we see that in our elderly population, so we really need to make things much more safe, perhaps installing wall guards just like there are handrails for stairs to put them along the wall to help people to keep their balance, because balance is a major part of this as people age. But taking those precautionary measures in any type of activity that we do, so that it, you know, it doesn't happen. And of course, we don't want everyone doesn't want to walk around here with a helmet on at all times. But when we're in a predicament where that may require us to take the extra effort to prevent, you know, the consequences of rushing or not paying attention. So there are several factors that come into play, us from having, you know, experiencing these unwanted injuries, and that's just like someone going to the grocery store, and they want the child may want to ride, you know, take the cart back to the rack, to the cart rack, and then decides to take a ride on the back, and the cart flips back on them. Those are all types of things we have to look at as far as a person being injured. And, you know, we will look at it as an accident, but what is that person thinking for them to injure themselves like that in the first place? So symptometry looks at in a wide variety of ways, because all accidents have in them some type of lesson for the person to learn, whether or not it's a wanted one or not. You know, if it's a good lesson or a bad lesson, because perhaps they can teach somebody else down the road not to do that.
Those are excellent points. I was just taking down some notes here, Dr. Abbott, about, you know, installing guardrails in the shower, having floor mats. I didn't even think about window guards, you know, for young kids. I mean, those are excellent points, because traumatic head injuries can happen even when you're not playing a contact sport, right? You could trip, fall, or, you know. So you're right. No one is spared from potentially having a serious head injury. So taking precautions is one of the most important ways in preventing traumatic head injuries. But now I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about something we all do, which is eat. We all eat. So what role, if any, does a healthy scientific diet have in reducing the harmful effects of a concussion or a traumatic head injury?
Well, Angel, you know, we talk about eating and symptometry all the time, because scientific eating is the thing that we teach. It's a part of our definition of health. And therefore, people need to know how to eat scientifically. And, of course, it would be beneficial, because the individual would have will be taking on the least amount of health disruptors. And it is those health disruptors that can cause more of a ballooning effect, slows blood flow down, and the person will actually
Every Wednesday, Root Cause Radio teaches us easy ways to reach optimal health. Thanks to its creator, Dr. Maxwell Naughty, these health